Welcome to Simply Folk. I'm Stephanie Elkins. Happy Independence Day. I have a lot of music a little bit later in the program in honor of our country's birthday. And also of note, WPR marks the 150th anniversary of the Civil War all this week with news and interviews and, in tonight's case, music. That's ahead later this evening. Right now, Sheila Shigley is here with me, and we are very happy to welcome the stylish and original and very tall Sean Michael Dargan. He's a songwriter and multi-instrumentalist based in Madison. We're going to get right into some music and then into conversation. And Sean, welcome.
Hi, Stephanie.
Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
And your guitar, your Loudon guitar.
Indeed.
You said it's a little bit loud.
It's a Loudon and a Prydian.
Mm-hmm. What would you like to start us off with?
I thought I'd start with an old tune of mine called Lamplight.
All right.
Midnight, picking daisies in the moonlight, skipping rocks behind your shadow, letting go a bit too soon. The lamplight is not enough to trust my eyesight. If I wake to feel you breathing like a lazy afternoon. That's your car that passed me by. It's just the dust that makes me cry. We'll crack the doors, trip down the hall. You're only slipping until you fall. Dim the lights and wait for your call. You're only slipping. You're only slipping until you fall. When it's halftime, would you tug upon my lifeline? If you see me starting under, not forget to hold my breath. The red wine pushes me towards the front line, where your sights still train upon me, my fear that's worse than death. That's your town that passed me by. It's just the dust that makes me cry. Well, now crack the doors and trip down the hall. You're only slipping until you fall. Dim the lights and wait for your call. You're only slipping. You're only slipping until you fall. Until you fall. The lamplight glows softly in the damp night, like the one who waits to meet me to sing my favorite tune. Midnight, we're pushing daisies in the moonlight, planting rocks to mark the shadows. We're approaching all too soon. That's your time that passed me by. It's still the dust that makes me cry. Well, now crack the doors, trip down the hall. You're only slipping until you fall. Dim the lights and wait for your call. You're only slipping. You're only slipping until you crack the doors, trip down the hall. You're only slipping until you fall. Dim the lights and wait for your call. You're only slipping. You're only slipping until you fall. Crack the doors, trip down the hall until you fall. Crack the doors, trip down the hall until you fall. Crack the doors, trip down the hall.
Sean Michael Dargan right here on Simply Folk with Lamplight. That's a great tune, Sean.
Thanks, Stephanie.
And I have to ask about the guitar. It just has such a big, beautiful, rich sound. And I know we mentioned right at the beginning that it's called a Loudon. And where is that from?
This is made by a fellow named George Loudon, who lives in Ireland, actually not too far outside of Belfast. And he made them by hand for a long time, and then this is a handmade one. And then not too long ago, sold his company, and now I'm not sure they're all made by hand anymore. But you had
one of the good ones.
I heard, Richard Thompson is the obvious place that I found this guitar. He's been playing Loudons for about 20 years, and I adore Richard Thompson. Worship the ground upon which he plays and sings and writes. And I knew that guitar sound, the things he did with an acoustic guitar, sort of emulating his full band. He's like this great solo artist, but he also has this amazing rockin' band, and what he does with an acoustic guitar really, I think, emulates the spirit of that and the sound of it. Mm-hmm. And he's able to get that sound out of one of these, and I thought, well, if I'm gonna try to do anything like that, might as well start with that. So yeah.
Speaking of Richard Thompson, Sheila Shigley is here because she's our Simply Folk music librarian, but she's also one of your collaborators on occasion, and those are some of the music that you do, isn't it?
I play Linda.
I am terribly fortunate to have Sheila in a project of mine. We ought to start another project, shouldn't we? Or maybe we should just reprise the RT one. We haven't done it in about 4 years, maybe 5 years now. It's been a while.
Actually, when I met Sean Michael Dargan on Higher Ground.
Oh, with Jonathan
on this very station. And I didn't know him, and I was with another group, and a note came passing through the dark towards me that said, "Would any of you care to sing with me on my next song?" And there was a lot of deer in the headlights looks, and I got suckered into it, and we went in the hall and practiced, and
for like 45
seconds,
we
performed together before we had even met. For better or for worse, I think it went all right.
It was magic, yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
So yeah, we've done the Richard and Linda Thompson thing about 3 times now, and from a small duo acoustic show, wow, at Cafe Mamar, which not only isn't here anymore, but just drove by the building, and it's not really here anymore either. Mm. But then we did a big old rock version of it, full RT band, and Sheila plays some fiddle and sings her tail right off, and it's just a really fabulous way to celebrate the work that I love so much. So, and actually, just for the record, some of your listeners probably, in addition to RT fans, I bet like the Eagles and a few other bands that I've become just enamored of the concept of tributing. Mm-hmm. Is that a verb? I think it is. And I've been doing a lot of these projects in the last 5 years where we do one full night, 3 or 4 hours of just one artist. The Replacements, the Smiths, the Cure, the Eagles, Richard Thompson, Squeeze, Elvis Costello and the Attractions. Really just
quite a variety there, Sean.
Cool.
Kind of going off the deep end, but just for one night. So that's been fun.
Do you always collaborate with other musicians, or how do your songs start out? Do they start out with you and a guitar, or?
Typically, I've started to collaborate more very much by design. I spent the first 20 or so years doing what I did in a very isolation tank, Stalinistic band leader sort of mode, and that worked really well for me to a certain extent. But it's also a little lonely in spots, and I've played with so many great bands through the years, and I've watched so many great collaborations that I just really forced myself to step out of a comfort zone, which for me just involved, again, like you said, my guitar and the living room or wherever I happened to be at the time. But I definitely still write mostly by myself, but I've really enjoyed the sort of forced collaboration. It's funny, it isn't really that hard. It's sort of my little internal thing that's made it challenging.
To let go a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your songs tell stories. What are we going to hear next?
Well, I thought I'd play a song for you that's a bit more of a fingerstyle thing. I wrote this song, you might remember, the U.S. women's soccer team.
Oh, yes.
Just Mia won
Hamm.
Yesterday, real big. They won a few years ago as well, after not being expected to win, back in the Mia Hamm, mm-hmm, Brandi Chastain era. And I was sort of Taken with Brandi Chastain, and she scored that one winning goal, and the way the guys always get to rip off their shirts in celebration, and she did the same thing, and everyone, you know, was like, oh my gosh, she showed her sports bra off. And I was like, yeah, sister, that's right. Take that back with a little bit of soccer finesse, right? Anyway, I've always been a fan, but never a player of soccer, and I wrote this tune. It's called Corner Kick. And someone commented once that the corner kick that I describe, I say the angle's better on the corner kick. And he said, well, you know, the angle's really challenging on a corner kick. That's why, you know, it's offensive tool, but it's sort of unusual. And I said, well, it's not about the kicker. It's about me. And when she was over in the corner doing the corner kick, she was right there.
The angle.
I thought it was great. So,
good anyway. For you as a spectator.
This is called Corner Kick. Cafe on the corner where we sit and recover. It looks like December and feels like July. And huddled in the corner, you've never looked stronger. I'm gone for the summer. You wave goodbye. Have you noticed how the days that we're together, the forecast is thunder and clouds fill the sky? Don't you know by now, it's not about the weather. The sun I live under never sets in your corner. I'm no one's go-getter. But if you lay the guidelines, well, I'll play along. You kick from the corner where the sidelines and hurry back home. Have you noticed how the days that we're together, the forecast is thunder and clouds fill the sky? Don't you know by now, it's not about the weather. The sun I live under never sets in your eyes. No, the sun I live under never sets in your eyes.
Corner Kick. If you're just tuning in to Simply Folk, my guest is Sean Michael Dargan, and Sheila Shigley is also here, and we're listening to some live music between now, oh, and about 5:30 or so, or a little bit past. And if you'd like to join in the conversation, you're welcome to talk with us on Facebook. You just look for Simply Folk on Wisconsin Public Radio and click the like button once you get there, and then you're welcome to post your comments, your questions, any photos, gig information. And we had a note from Sue who said she first saw Sean Michael Dargan perform at Folk at Four a long time ago, and she was looking forward to this evening. So thanks for that note, Sue, and you're welcome to post if you'd like to. You can also stay in touch at simplyfolk.org. We have a form there. You can send an email with requests and comments And that's simplyfolk.org. Sean, you met your wife, Jennifer, and that inspired some of your music, didn't it?
Indeed. In fact, I'd like to play a song for you that I like to think that I wrote, but in reality, I just grabbed a whole bunch of lyrical ideas and, in fact, some direct quotations from the letters that my, at the time, love interest and soon-to-be wife wrote to me when we were recording. We had a very brief but very awesome courtship. We met on a bicycle ride, a big fundraising ride that used to go through Wisconsin. It started in the Twin Cities and ended in Chicago, and it was called the Heartland AIDS Ride or the Twin Cities Chicago AIDS mm-hmm. Ride. And I worked on the, I worked for the company that produced it, and I lived in LA, and I flew out to St. Paul just to do this gig, and I worked for a week, and Jennifer had been volunteering for the week in the bike parking, so she was in charge of parking 3,500 bicycles every night. And she was working with her best friend, and I was rocking around at work with my best friend, and we sort of met, and I was like, wow. But I thought she was married to her best friend. They had this great rapport, and so I, you know, went on my way, and I think she thought I was, you know, not unattractive, perhaps. And so we were both sort of thinking about each other, but we didn't actually chat much. I think I forklifted some water over to her campsite a little later in the week. And then at the end of the week, I was cleaning up in Chicago after the big closing ceremonies. And she had gone on her way, and I'd maybe talked to her for 5 minutes tops. And my coworker from the company who lived in Madison said, "Hey, my friend Jennifer from bike parking thinks you're really cute." And I said, "Really? Well, why didn't you tell me that 6 days ago?" Well, you know. So I gave her my card, and I said, well, some classic, you know, songwriter living in L.A. kind of thing, like, tell her to send me a note or something. And she did. So we sort of struck up this long-distance how's-it-going conversation, and it quickly evolved into, wow, that's a pretty cool person. One of the letters she wrote me was so chock full of incredible expressive language that I, when I was working on a record a few years after we'd been married, I was just thinking, I'm really trying to get this concept, and I'm really trying, I keep writing and rewriting, and I was like, here it is. I just took her letter and I just sort of lifted a couple dozen lines from it and turned it into a song. So she really deserves a co-write on this one.
All right.
Yeah.
It's called...
The song's called A Note from the Heartland. It was actually the subject line of an email she wrote me. And it's, just imagine her singing it to me.
Hey, you by the sea. Deep in bicycles, second night of camp, Black River Falls. You slept in the van, two hours outside of Chicago. Drive fast as you can. Says hello like a note from the heartland.
A Note from the Heartland by Sean Michael Dargan, with quite a bit of inspiration from his wife, Jennifer. Yeah, that's pretty evocative. Nice.
Thanks. So, I had someone from Portland, Oregon, come see me after a show and say, yeah, man, I was a long time getting here to Madison from Portland. I said, well, actually, it was Portland, Maine, but I hadn't really thought about it. It's pretty far from either one of those.
Long either way. Well, speaking of long, you have been doing this a long time, and I always like to ask people who have been at it this long, why do you do what you do? What made you start, and what made you keep going?
That's a great question, Sheila. You know, I've been playing the guitar since I was about 14, and it's funny, I had moved from Washington, D.C. to Amarillo, Texas at 14, and, you know, junior high, Amarillo, Texas, not a lot, new kid in town. There was not a lot of stuff going on for me. MTV had sort of just launched a few years before, and I discovered, like, a reason to be watching what, at this point, what all my favorite bands, though I didn't know it at the time, were doing, like the Eagles and Rush and the Beatles, of course, and it was just this great opportunity for a very lonely fellow who had just bought a guitar for no particular reason to sort of dive into something that could really bring some meaning to my life. I should point out that although I picked up the guitar fairly late, I think, compared to some of my compatriots who've been playing since they were, you know, just slightly smaller than the guitar, I started playing the bagpipes, the Highland bagpipes, when I was very small, 10 years before that, maybe.
How does a young boy start playing the bagpipes? Was that something in the family?
It was. My dad was the bass drummer in a bagpipe band, and my mom had made a little kilt for me, and I used to march along. At like 3.5 or 4 years old, I marched along with his band, sort of the mascot for all practical purposes. And there's great pictures of my dad with his huge bass drum and little tiny me with my little tiny kilt and my little tiny fake bagpipes. And I was notorious for standing next to the pipe major, just watching him and mimicking everything that he would do. And I think it was sort of like a Suzuki method. I really learned, I turned out I had a good ear for music. I didn't know it, but so I was learning all these tunes just by hearing them for the 1,000th time. And I was pretending to play along, and I was eventually doing the right thing. So I started taking lessons when I was 6.5 or 7, and had a really terrific teacher in DC and a really great piping community. And I had already sort of been studying it for 3 years without even knowing it. So I did that. I still do. I still play the pipes. So,
yes, you do. You've actually played them here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
I have.
It's wonder. They're so, well, talk about evocative.
Loud.
Yeah. Well, they're that too. Yeah. I had talked to one of the engineers. Well, if Sean brings his pipes, you know, what should I do about the sound? And he said, put him out in the hallway.
put him in the courtyard. Yeah.
Put him on the 6th floor.
Exactly. I tuned up on the 6th floor once for a birthday party here on the 7th, and the 6th floor leaned their head out their oars and said, go back up to the 7th floor.
Well, you know, you cross a lot of genres, it seems to me, with your music. You do some singer-songwriter and folk and Celtic with all of the bagpiping and so forth. And you also do some pop and rock. And what are you into right now? And I guess I'd also like to ask that a different way. What do you think comprises folk music?
Well, as one of my dear, dear friends, Pete Mealy, probably one of the best songwriters I've ever had the chance to know and work with, as he likes to say, folk music. It's music for folks.
Yeah. You know, the word means people.
It's funny, but it's so true. I mean, I think, you know, the concept of an indigenous music of an indigenous people, no matter where and when that people are in time and space, I mean, that's folk music. It happens that most of what I do these days, maybe even for the last 15 years or so, is I play electric guitar. I play bass in a band right now that I'm really excited about. I play bass in a couple projects and electric guitar in a couple of projects. I used to play acoustic guitar, sort of solo or duo, what people would consider like a folk gig in coffee houses. I used to make my living at that, 6-7 shows a week on the East Coast. I lived in D.C., but I toured the East Coast. I'd play with my band on the weekends, and I'd play solo shows during the week. And I did thousands of shows would be just an understatement.
So you move pretty comfortably in and out of the genre.
For me, it was you know, having spent so much time playing bagpipes and then sort of being drawn to the guitar, I never stopped playing the bagpipes. I did stop studying them as seriously as I had once the guitar seduced me. But the idea, like, I definitely have some friends who I have a lot of respect for who are songwriters, which I am. And I have some friends who I have a lot of respect for who just do cover material and make a lot more money at it. And I play cover material, too. And I think some of my friends see themselves as sort of purists one way or the other, and they're not interested in sort of the other. And that's just one spectrum. There's tons of spectrums. And my thought has always been, you know, if you want to do this, which I pretty much have done this my whole adult career since I got out of college. I just kept playing gigs. It always made sense to me. Maybe it's because I didn't have, a seven-figure record deal. Maybe it wouldn't have mattered. But it made sense to me, if you're interested in something, you should do it. And I'm interested in lots of different genres. And the driving force for me has always been great songs. And that's presumptuous of me to think that my songs are going to be as great as Richard Thompson's. But that's always been my goal, to write songs that are great. And you write lots and lots of bad songs, and hopefully you write some good ones, and hopefully you write a great one or two. But I love to cover other people's tunes, and I think it's kind of neat in certain circumstances to play them just the way the record sounds, especially if it's a really great record. Like, I don't know, we just did Hotel California, its entirety. It's a great record.
One of the greats of all
time. Nothing about that record that doesn't deserve to be played like it is.
I agree.
But I also think the idea of sort of interpreting great songs in your own way is really intriguing as well. So,
well, let's have another one from you.
All right. Well, this is a song. This is the other end of the song I just wrote you, or just played for you, rather, that I wrote with the help of my wife's note. This one's called You're the One, and I wrote this one for her, and it's the last song on that same record.
You're the one. Likes the change of season, prefers to go by bicycle, and loves to see the snow. And I had fun in Southern California, but you're the reason I believe I would choose to go. Should I trade my favorite ocean for two lakes and your devotion? I don't know. Quite a picture, willing words and watercolor, tent beside a tree. And everyone would see a perfect picture, wrapped inside a tiger blanket, dancing in the sea. Pacific Ocean never lacked for my devotion until now. You're the one who moved to California, but only for a week till we found a better way. Like the change of season, and you're the very reason, and I choose you today.
The One. Sean Michael Dargan is our guest for this first part of Simply Folk. Sheila Shigley is here with me, and I think we'll probably have time for one more tune. I had a note on Facebook from Brian who said, thanks for featuring Sean. He is a Madison treasure, and I'd say probably Wisconsin treasure, with incredible and stylistic depth. So wow. Thanks for that great comment.
Thanks, Brian.
Appreciate it. Glad you're listening.
I'd like to send in some records.
Speaking of records, you've got a pretty prolific discography, 5 albums already, and you can find information about Sean's CDs and all his gigs and his bio and everything you need. We have a link up to his website at simplyfolk.org. Well, Sean, I think we have, as I mentioned, time for one more. And this is a song, I think you're going to do the one that just caught my ear. It has a hook that won't get out of your head, which is, of course, the mark of a great song.
Well,
what's the impetus for this song?
I wrote this song. It's a love song to a 1982 Volkswagen Vanagon.
It was a
diesel Vanagon, and I got a thing for diesel vehicles, and I got a thing for Volkswagen vans. So this was like the have-all, end-all, be-all vehicle for me, except that it didn't run very well. So it's in an impound yard somewhere now. It may already be sold for scrap. But my lovely wife said that the van that I was trying to make work, sitting in our garage leaking oil everywhere, that the coolest thing about it was that the color. It was yellow and white, just like the 60s van in Little Miss Sunshine, the movie. And so I started writing a tune that week, and it quickly became obvious that this was to be Little Miss Sunshine. So
here it is.
This is on my latest record.
Sunshine has rust on her wheels, a short in her wires. Do you know how she feels? Rough in the morning till her coffee is made, but hardly beginning to fade. And if you could have seen her all those years ago, you've searched for years. What can you show to the rest of the crowd but the way that she breaks and she steers, and the lengths she will go to are taller than her gears.
Defy you to get that line out of your head tonight. Little Miss Sunshine by Sean Michael Dargan. Well, thanks so much for coming in and sharing your time and talent with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
When can folks see you next?
Well, I've got a couple of shows coming up that I think will be pretty fun. I play in a band called The Kissers as well, which is probably not unknown to your audience. Long time Madison Irish rock band featuring very Celtic, more than Celtic influences. Terrific songwriter named Ken Fitzsimmons started that band, and I play electric guitar and bagpipes in that band, and some bass. And we play a bit. We're playing at the Tyranina Brewery the last Saturday of July, and then we're playing the Willie Street Fair in August. Or maybe it's first week
of
September.
That's here in Madison.
Yeah, yep. right here in Madison, Wisconsin. Tyranina Brewery is in Lake Mills, Wisconsin, about 30 miles east of Madison, 60 miles west of Milwaukee. The Willie Street Fair right here in downtown, right on the Isthmus in Madison. And then I've got a brand new band, which is very exciting.
Not surprising.
Not surprising, no. Exactly, my 73rd band. This band is a quartet of all four of us songwriters, all four of us longtime Wisconsin area musicians playing everything from folk to jazz to rock to bop to bagpipes. The band is called Centime.
Centime, as in the French.
As in the French word
coin.
For penny, yep. Yes. And it's, I bought this French Foreign Legion hat, and I thought, I need a band that I can wear it in. I have this suit that matches the hat. And I have a bass that complements the suit and the French Foreign Legion hat. So I thought I could go off and join the French Foreign Legion, but then they wouldn't let me carry the bass. They'd probably make me carry.
Sounds like you've got a multimedia show going on.
Oh, it's pretty splendid. So Centime is playing the High Noon Saloon in Madison, Wisconsin. First Tuesday of August. It's the 2nd. And that's going to be a very fun show. We have a brand new record we're working on. It'll probably be out by then, actually. And all original music, a couple of fun covers thrown in here and there, but a very cool thing.
We will look forward to it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Sean. You're listening to Simply Folk. I'm Stephanie Elkins. Sheila Shigley is also here. Our guest has been Sean Michael Dargan. And you can find out more about Sean, including, music clips and CDs available from the link that's to his website at simplyfolk.org.